Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 23, and that's on page 1625 of the blue Bibles that you got on the way in. I'll give you a sec to find it. Corinthians 3, 1 to 23. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, well, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God.
Thanks, Phil. It's really the call to show so far, isn't it? Sydney and Phil there. My name is Simon, if we haven't met before, and it's great that we can gather together. I just have two quick announcements, and maybe a third if I'm feeling it. Our camp out is coming up, so the 6 p.m. camp out, it's on the 10th to 11th of September, just Saturday afternoon to Sunday morning, and if you've got skills in like turning sausages, or flipping a piece of bacon, or an egg, come and talk to me. Because you could be very useful for all of us. That's happening. The other thing is we're doing a tough question series next term. So 7 talks. I think I've got like 3 or 4 already catered for. But if you'd like to submit a question on your outline, there's a little kind of QR code you can scan. So put in whatever tough question you can think of. Like the toughest question you can think of, bring it on. It might just get... we might not address it, but put it in there and we'll have a go. But there's also a box up the back, a pretty box made by Cecilia, and you can write your tough questions on a piece of paper and put it in the box like old school. Anyway, the two options are available to you. Lastly, I'm going to steal Sydney's thunder very so briefly here with an announcement, but the spiritual health survey is due tomorrow morning, and currently 6 p.m. is coming last in the stats. But we're only coming last by one survey. So 8:30's got 66. No one's going to beat 8:30. But 4:15 and 10:30 have 57. and 6PM has 56. And so don't do it twice. That would be cheating. But you could do that. No, don't do that. But if you haven't done it all yet already, please do it. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But it will matter in the office as I cop abuse. But anyway, up to you guys as to whether you want me to suffer or not with that. Now, all the announcements done and dusted. Let's pray that God would help us to understand His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now. Please help us as we look at your word. Father, please give us eyes to see. And Father, please give us ears to hear. Father, please work in us by your Spirit. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, at the moment at Willow's Youth, it's the clicker people. Yes. At the moment at Willow's Youth, we're thinking through a new name. Now, the reason we're doing that is so like churches in the city, so St. Andrew's in the city or North Shore to the north, they might feel more comfortable sending their youth here to the programs we run if it's not called Willow's Youth. It's also a way of saying to families who come along to Willows that if you move to St. Andrew's or you move to North Shore in the north, you can still attend the programs that we run here. So we've put the challenge to the youth to come up with a new name. Now, the best name that we think so far is Town Youth, because it's got to capture all of Townsville, right? But it's not great, to be honest, but... Like, it's not great, but I challenge you to think of a better one. Presbyterian Youth? That's not what, Sons of Calvin? Maybe. Anyway. But we've thrown open the challenge to the youth, right? To say, what can you guys come up with? But this is kind of rigged, like being like voting for school captain, right? Sure, we all want you to have a say, but at the end of the day, the teachers will choose ultimately who gets that position. Anyway, the other night at youth, Phil kind of got the youthies to come up with some new designs for youth. What's it going to be called? What's the logo going to look like? Well, here's two of my favourites. The first one is called St. Willows. St. Willows Youth. That's my favourite because it kind of takes the mickey out of the saint thing. And I can kind of picture it. You can almost use the saint of Castle Hill as part of the logo, but it may not build relationships with St. Andrews. It might actually do the opposite of what we're trying to achieve there. The other one that's kind of okay is High on the Spirit Youth, Take the Hit. I like the drug reference, but that has got no chance of getting through. But there was lots of other suggestions as well. But a couple of submissions came through that were, let's say, a little disturbing. Or not even a little disturbing, a lot disturbing. Now, just some context. I normally look after youth, but I've been kind of looking after AC for the first three terms. I'm going back to youth in term four. Phil's been looking after youth so far this term, or this year. And so there were a couple of Phil and Simon-specific youth names, and it's a little disturbing. So, Sons of Phil, Fulfilled in Christ, and Kevin's Club. My name is Kevin in some instances. Now, I'm really hoping that those names were jokes, because if they weren't, it's very disturbing. But imagine for a moment that they were real options. Imagine if the youth really wanted those names. Well, then we would have a big problem, wouldn't we? Imagine people wanting to follow their leader rather than following Christ. Imagine being fulfilled in Phil rather than in Jesus. Well, I actually bet you can think of your own kind of examples from your own life where things like that kind of happen. But this idea of worshipping your leader, it seems to be the big idea in the section of 1 Corinthians that we're looking at this term. It's an issue that Paul introduced us to back in chapter 1, verse 12. He'd heard reports of divisions in the church. Some were saying, I follow Paul. Others were saying, I follow Apollos. Some were saying, I follow Cephas. That's Peter. And they're potentially saying that because of how good the speaker is. And so for the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, Paul reminded the Corinthians that the message of a crucified Messiah is an absolutely foolish message. The world thinks it's foolish. And you have to have the Spirit of God to see that it's actually a really beautiful message. Paul started this letter by saying to the Corinthians, you know what? You're sanctified. You're set apart for a special purpose. They have God's Spirit. But because they're following certain leaders, because there's divisions amongst them, Paul actually says to them, you guys are being too much like the world. And maybe the same could be said of us as well. Well, please have your Bibles open there at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I do need to warn you that normally I have 2 points, but tonight I have 4 points. But I will go quick. I will go quick. And if it gets a bit lagging, just go like this to me. And I will know to go fast. Anyway, the first point is this. You are being just like the world. Well, pick it up with me from verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. As Paul addresses his brothers and sisters in Christ in Corinth, he is pretty brutal with them. He's saying, I couldn't say that you are people who live by the Spirit. He couldn't say that because they're being just like the world around them. They're being babies in Christ, infants in Christ. Paul only gave them milk and not solid food, and they're still not ready for solid food. Well, what is Paul talking about there? Well, I think he's saying, you know what? He came and preached the wonderful news of Jesus, and these guys believed it, which is fantastic, but they haven't really got how Jesus' death and resurrection really is meant to change every part of your life. I don't think Paul's saying the more solid food is necessarily more complex theology or doctrine or church history. The more solid food that Paul is talking about is the gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection, shaping every aspect of your life. You know, picking up your cross, dying to yourself and following Jesus. Well, Paul goes on to show us how the Corinthians are being just like the world. Have a look at verses 3 and 4 with me. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Paul again says that the Corinthians are worldly. And he tells us why. Because there's jealousy and quarrelling among them. They're acting like humans without God's Spirit inside of them. They're saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. The Corinthians are failing to see how the gospel should transform every aspect of their life. They're being just like the culture around them. A culture that delighted in great speakers. A culture that followed their speakers passionately and exclusively. Well, Christians, people who believe in Jesus, they're followers of Christ and not their specific leader. Now, imagine again if those names back at youth were a true reflection of things. Imagine if our youth group was divided over its leaders. I only follow Phil, or I only follow Ryan, or Aaron, or Ethan, or Claudia, or Mel, there's two of them, or Kath, or Liam, or Cameron, or Dylan, or Arbery, or Avery as we call him, or Mianne, or Kevin. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? That would be a youth group on the rocks. That would be a youth group behaving just like the world. That would be a sign that we as leaders had missed our assignment. We're meant to make followers of Jesus, not followers of ourselves. Now, we thought about this a couple of weeks ago, but of course there are going to be some leaders that you connect with more than others. It might be their hobbies, it might be their intelligence, it might be their stories, it might be their sporting ability, it might be their D&D skills, if that's a thing. It's okay to connect with some leaders more than others, but don't make the mistake of going too far with that. Don't get your identity from your leader. Because if you believe in Jesus, you are a follower of Christ. Maybe the way to tell if you're delighting in your leader too much, it's very cute, young Harry, isn't he? Maybe the way to tell if you're delighting in your leader too much is to ask the question, if my leader fell away from Jesus, would I also fall away from Jesus? If your answer is yes, well then maybe you've got some thinking to do. Friends, love and care for your leaders, but build a solid relationship with your Heavenly Father and your Saviour Jesus, because that is the thing that really matters. Friends, don't worship your leaders, because they are just servants of God. Which brings us to our next point, that leaders are just servants of God. And pick up the action with me again from verse 5. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Friends, the people in Corinth, they seem to be divided over Paul and Apollos. But Paul is pointing out here that they're just servants of God, that they're doing what God has prepared for them to do. In verse 6, Paul says that he planted. He was the one who went to Corinth initially and told them the gospel, and they believed. But then he left, and then Apollos came, and he watered that seed. He continued to tell them about Jesus. But God is the one who makes them grow. Paul says in verse 7 that he and Apollos are nothing because God is the one who makes people grow by working in them by his Spirit. Well, Paul goes on in verses 8 and 9 to say that both Paul and Apollos, they will be rewarded according to their labour. And we'll think a little bit more about that in our next point. But Paul and Apollos, they're co-workers in service of God. The Corinthians and all Christians are God's field, are God's building. All Christians belong to God. Leaders are servants, but we belong to God. When you worship your leader, you are worshiping the wrong person. Now, when people come over to my house for dinner, often after we've had dinner and they're going home, they're like, oh, thanks, Simon, thanks so much for dinner. But is that really thanking the right person? Well, no, it's not, is it? Have I cleaned the toilet? Have I mopped the floor? Have I cooked the dinner? Have I just turned up? Yes. Has my wife done all of those things? Yes, she has. Deb is the right person to thank. Now, I know in this little illustration, which isn't perfect, Deb is God, right? That's not true, but she is very powerful. So don't mess with her, because it won't go well. Anyway, worshipping your leader, it's not the right way to go. Worship God. He is the one. He is the one who works in people. Friends, this passage is such a good corrective for us as leaders. Sometimes, as a leader, people will say really nice things to you, and sometimes, in your weaker moments, you will actually believe them. And you'll think, wow, I'm a good bloke. Yeah, sure, I'm a great bloke. But friends, this passage is a great reminder that we are just servants of God. And if you are a leader in any way, shape, or form, and there are lots of leaders here tonight, remember that you are just a servant of God. And remember that you will be judged more harshly. And that's where we're about to go now for our next point, that leaders will actually be judged more harshly. Well, pick it up with me again from verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul is saying with the grace that God gave him, he laid a foundation, the gospel foundation. And others are building on that, others like Apollos. But they need to be careful how they do that, because you can't lay a new foundation. The only foundation for Christian ministry is Jesus' death and his resurrection. That is the foundation, but as we build on that, we all need to be careful how we do that. And Paul goes on in verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because a day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Paul is saying how leaders build on the foundation of Jesus is super, super important. If they build well, it'll survive the day of judgment. If they build poorly, it won't. Which poses the question, how do we build well and how do we build poorly? Well, I think the answer lies in everything we've seen so far. You build well by pointing people to Jesus and helping people to delight in Jesus. You build poorly by pointing people to yourself and helping people to delight in yourself. And if you do that, you will be like one escaping through the flames. But how does all of that work? Well, if you build well, when you see God and Jesus face to face, they'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you build poorly, you'll be called out on that, but not in a way where you'll lose your salvation. We're still only saved by believing in Jesus. But if we build poorly on the foundation of Jesus, we'll not receive a warm welcome. We'll be called to account for our actions. And you know what? I have lots more questions too. But I think all of this info is only talking about the person who teaches the gospel but has mixed motives. The false teacher, the person who teaches a false gospel, the person who takes people away from believing in Jesus, that person will be destroyed, as it says in verse 17. Have a look with me. If anyone destroys God's temple, that's God's people, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you are together that temple. Being a leader is serious business. Be careful how you lead. Be careful how you build. Teach people about Jesus and point only to him. Now, many of you will have heard of a podcast called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's about a church in Seattle, America. It's a story of a small church growing very large, and then that large church kind of imploding in on itself. The senior pastor was a guy called Mark Driscoll, and I loved listening to him preach. He was a great preacher, very clear, very direct. As an Aussie male, it was like he was speaking directly to my heart. I even saw him in the flesh in Brisbane, and he signed my Bible. No, he didn't. He didn't really. That would have been pretty nice, though. Anyway, but it seems like over time he changed. In a very general way, it seems like he went from being a great servant of his people to something else. He changed along the way, and it became about him and his glory. And when Jesus comes back to judge the world, as a leader, I think he is going to be called to account. Now, I'm not God. I don't know all the details or anything like that. But there is some very compelling evidence against him. But the problem is, The problem is, I know that God is going to call me to account for my actions, for the ways that I've tried to make followers of Simon rather than followers of Jesus. And if you are a leader, I think you know exactly what I am talking about. And there are lots of leaders here tonight, Bible study leaders, youth group leaders, adventure club leaders, kids Bible time leaders, music leaders, elders, AFES workers, bishops. If that's you, as it's like me, confess your sin to God and ask for forgiveness. And we will be forgiven, but I still think I'm going to be called to account for my actions as well. Friends, can I say, pray for your leaders. Pray that we would serve you well. Pray that we would build well. But can I also say, be very careful with your language. Now, all leaders need to own their own actions. Of course we do. But when you say in front of a leader, oh, I really love that leader, or they're a really fantastic, great leader, or I really care about them and no other leaders, it does make you crave what those people are talking about. It can change your motivation unhelpfully. Friends, can I encourage you to be very careful with your words? And when you talk about someone who's leading well, think about, you know what? God is working in you in a great way. What a fantastic way to kind of shift the focus off them and shift the focus to God. Friends, be careful with your words and remember all that you have in Christ. And that brings us to our fourth and final point. Now, in verses 18 to 20, Paul basically says, don't think that you are wise by the standards of this age. Don't think that you are impressive or that you are important. And if you do think that, ask God to help you to see that that is not the case. Because as we've already seen in chapter 1 and chapter 2, God absolutely mocks the wisdom of this world. True wisdom is only found in the gospel. Paul continues from verse 21. He says this. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ and Christ is of God. Paul finishes this section by saying to the Corinthians, no more boasting in your human leaders. No more saying, I follow this guy or I follow that girl. No more being fulfilled in Phil or whatever it might be. And why is that the case? Well, it's because all things are yours in Christ. Whether it's your leaders, whether it's this world, whether it's life or death or the present or the future, all are yours in Christ. If you're a Christian, your leaders belong to the church. They're servants of the church. If you're a Christian, life belongs to you because you will have eternal life, life forever. This world belongs to you because you will rule over this world forever. Death belongs to you because Jesus, the risen Jesus, has defeated death. The present belongs to you because you know what? You know where it's all headed. You know where this world is going. The future belongs to you because you will actually be in the future in perfection with Jesus forever. If you believe in Jesus, all things belong to you, but we are of Christ and Christ is of God. Paul says all things belong to us, but we belong to God. Now, when we go on holidays to Berry, Boutique Berry down south, there's a lolly shop up the street, and my kids often say to me, hey, let's go up the street to the lolly shop. I'm like, okay, let's go, let's do it. We walk up to the lolly shop, and whoever comes with me gets some lollies, right? But you've got to come with me to get the lollies. If you stay at home, you don't get nothing. You've got to come to the lolly shop with me. And usually two out of the four come with me. When we go back home, right, those two that got the lollies, that like they're too cheap, crappy lollies. I kind of like boasting. They're boasting to their brothers and sisters. Oh, look at the lollies I got. Isn't that amazing? Imagine if at that point I said to the other kids who didn't come, you know what? Don't worry about it, guys. You can have all of the lollies in the shop. How do you think those two that were boasting about the two lollies would feel? They'd feel like idiots, wouldn't they? Because the other two get all of the lollies in the shop. Well, that's kind of what it's like when we boast in our leaders. We actually miss. We miss that we have all things in Christ. Well, friends, when you believe in Jesus, you belong to Jesus. You belong to God. And the challenge for the Corinthians is to actually live that out. They're being too much like the world. And for the Corinthians, being too much like the world means following certain leaders. Now, I reckon we might have some thinking to do in that space. There's probably also lots of other areas in our life where we're being too much like the world as well. Don't forget that if you believe in Jesus, you don't belong to this world. You belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. If you believe in Jesus, you belong to God. You have a wonderful future ahead of you. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are in Christ. Don't forget that you have all things. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please help us not to be like the world. Father, help us to love and care for our leaders. But Father, help us not to worship them. Help us to know they're just servants. Father, help us to worship you. And Father, we do pray for all of our leaders. We pray that they would build on the foundation of Jesus well. Father, help them to know that being a leader is serious business. Father, help all of us to know all that we have in Christ. Father, help us to know all that belongs to us. And Father, help us to know that we belong to you. And Father, help us to delight in that wonderful news. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing a song that reminds us that we worship our great King. So please stand and please sing.